Welcome to the Bangers List podcast, a podcast where we share a new song every week and Julian fucks up the intro.
Perfect.
That's a good start. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. Thank you for listening. I'm here with Joel and Daniel, as usual. How are you, boys?
Fantastic. Good, mate. Good.
I don't know if I'm going to leave this again. I'm going to have to leave this down to you, mate. You got 12 or 13 intros under your belt. I've got one. I screwed up straight away.
It's the pressure. I understand. Like, talking to your friends, a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no. Right, who's on the menu this week, Joel? Tell me.
We're going to do The Devil Wears Prada and one of their... You know, oldish songs.
Yeah, it's got to be one of their oldest songs, right?
Surely. They've been around about 2003, so this was 2006, I think.
Okay. It's called Escape.
Escapway. Escapi. Escapachino.
You fucking idiots.
We were just, like, off air, we were talking no more than about 2 minutes ago about how much we swear. Within 30 seconds, Daniel's called both of us cunts and idiots.
We jump into a sample, we'll get our shit together, and we'll talk about the song.
No workers.
Oh my God. They're everywhere.
All right, so Escape by The Devil Wears Prada. A little bit more intense this week, boys, and it's not a very popular meta, as I call it, band, is it? They're a little bit more less mainstream than... The last few weeks have been, but that's perfect.
Yeah, that's fair to say. But I think we've talked about it before. It's exposure. In America, these guys are quite big.
Still?
I think so. Yeah, they just put out a new record too, actually. It's called The Act.
Yes.
That's the one.
I actually came across it. That I didn't realize put it out. Yeah, I'd say they're pretty big. They were on the tour we were talking about that Parkland Polaris did with August Burns Red.
So that'd be a killer tour.
Well, like we said, I think it was a Spiders episode or something. It was fucking massive tour to be on, so...
Look, before anyone gets carried away, how good was Meryl Streep in this? You dickhead. Someone was going to say it. So, yeah, The Devil Wears Prada. We'll just touch on the name of the band. Obviously, it's not – they didn't name themselves after the movie, right?
Or the book.
Or the book. They actually named themselves after what they thought was like a biblical story about anti-materialism.
That's
basically,
that's
in a nutshell.
What it was. They did a – You see those fact or fictions on Wikipedia with that, what that, I don't know, that guy's got, his name's like starts with a G.
Is it on YouTube actually?
It's like Gremlin or something. It's on, what did I say?
Wikipedia.
It's on Wikipedia. It's Wikipedia fact or fiction
loud,
on YouTube.
Loudwire.
Loudwire, yeah.
He's
the weirdest, most awkward dude, but he's just a mad cunt because he gets to talk to heaps.
It's our podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
I saw he did one with Gene Simmons, and Gene Simmons just fucking like just wrecked him constantly. Yeah. And he's just like, at least it's Gene Simmons.
That's right. I think he did one with Mike Ronica and Jeremy DePosta. Mm-hmm. I think that's pronounced right. The lead guitarist and backup, clean vocalist and the screamer from this band. And I think they went through the whole, like, where did the name come from? I think they debunked a few sort of myths around it. I think one of those was that they really liked the movie and then they found out the movie was shit or something like that. I don't know. There was a whole bunch
of
reasons.
What an awful way to name your band.
I know, right?
Because my band would be named 300 because it's the best movie ever.
Fucking Sparta.
Look, it was a good movie, but it's better than being like a really basic cunt and calling it The Shawshank Redemption. You ever notice that when someone's trying to sound smart, you go, what's your favourite movie? And they go, The Shawshank Redemption. Anyway, back to The Devil Wears Prada. This song is called Escape. It is from the 2010 Zombie EP they did. Mike Ranica said that the lyrical content was basically he wanted to write about the zombie apocalypse or a zombie apocalypse.
Which is awesome because I was getting a little bit tired of subject matters to do with depression and emotions and all that shit. This one's great. Mm. So obviously zombies... came about when Florida Man in 2010 had a bunch of bath salts and then attacked a bunch of people. And so, obviously, this song was written before that, so they were prophesizing what was going to happen in the future because that's where zombies came from. And they were obviously – that was going to happen in the future, and they wrote a song about how it would happen if everybody ate bath salts. And this is this song.
This just got derailed.
Jeez.
Oh, 2010. So this is the first track off the record. It's obviously deals with the initial escape or running away from zombies, and there's other ones about finding somewhere to stay and like bunkering down, finding a shelter, stuff like that. It's only got six tracks on it, if my memory serves me right. I'm just gonna go.
No, you're right. Six tracks.
Five. Sorry, I tell a lot.
What? People can't hear you nodding. Daniel just sits here and nods heaps. Like, input.
It's my contribution, man.
Yeah. So.
Oh, look, I'm just not on your level at the moment, guys. I'm sorry.
Don't you like this song?
I know. I like this song, but, you know, I'm just fucking not smoking whatever you're smoking.
Yeah.
You know,
like you've had some red cordial today.
It's been a long time between pods.
Yeah. A whole 2 weeks. But for you at home, it seems like longer. Yeah. So this one, I actually put this one on the list, as with a lot of them. I actually the interesting story, I came across a bit of this. Can't talk. We all know who Jared Dines is, right?
Yeah.
That fucking cancer YouTube. I'm calling him out. That guy on YouTube that just does like, I don't know if I don't like him because I don't like his content, or I don't like him because back when I was still on Facebook, everyone that knows I'm a drummer would go, you're a drummer. He did a video about drummers. You must like this. So I just got tagged in like every drummer video I did. So
I know he triggers you too. Yeah.
He's incredible talent in a stupid person. Anyway.
I think it's just his out of proportion head. He's got a really fucking.
I could agree with that boy. He's a very talented multi-instrumentalist.
Yes.
Good on him. But some of the content that he does just makes me want to shoot myself in the face with a large caliber weapon from close range.
Whoa. Well, we're probably not the target demographic. Possibly.
I think people that don't know anything about music or like metalcore noobs are the target demographic.
Okay.
I think money is the target demographic. So you know what? I don't like him, but fuck, whatever. I respect his hustle. He's out there making cash. Yeah, I've seen him unpack and pack up his drum kit about 3 million times in multiple videos. So like knowing how frustrating that is to do means that he's suffered enough in my eyes.
Look, he got to play for Trivium.
Yeah.
He replaced Matt Heafy. And Howard Jones, formerly from Killswitch, came and did the other vocals, and he did Heafy's, and Jared Dines did Heafy's guitar parts. So, look, he's made it, man. Like he's.
Well, you ever noticed that YouTubers like that are really famous always plug their bands that are not really famous?
Yeah.
It's like.
I have a side band. Yeah, check them out.
Check my band. No, fuck off. anyway, he did a video. It was different kinds of breakdowns.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Yeah. One of those breakdowns is actually my ringtone. Like, I'm not kidding. Okay. The Charles Manson one. Because it was just, like, I think the caption was like 2009. Anyway, so someone in the comments section said Escape by the Devil Wears Prada. And I'd always thought, oh, they're a band that I should probably listen to, but I never have. It's like August Burns Red back catalogue. If you don't know it, you should fucking go and know it because it's absolutely really good. 100%.
Personal preference.
Well, exactly right, but like they're undisputably good. So I went and had a listen to it, and the fucking breakdown in this song is like very, very similar.
In this song?
In Escape. It's quite similar to the breakdown it was kind of like a meme breakdown he did, but it's really good. So that sort of, I sort of skimmed through the song and found it and went, oh, that's pretty fucking sick. And then I went back and listened to it. It turns out like the whole EP is really good. And that particular song has always sort of stuck with me. So
I just thought the start of this song was a little bit slow to get going, and it's like 30 seconds of, what would you call it? Well, techno, like, it's basically storm, keys. Yeah.
Like a storm coming in, like sort of, like not synth, it's like the strings.
Yeah, strings and ambience.
Sets like, you know, sets the mood up. There's like a tense situation, something's about to happen.
And then it explodes in your face. Yeah. Pretty much.
It's just the fucking drummer going hammer and tongs.
Yep.
Now you can say, yeah, it might be a little boring. Perhaps, but I think when you think of it as an EP, right? It's a concept. It's like a little concept, mini concept album of sorts, a concept.
Which is what it
EP,
is. Yeah.
And this song's no exception to that. And this is the first song off the EP, right? This is
it is
the opening. Yeah. So it's setting the scene for the entire disc.
Yeah. Right? Because I said before, Mike Ranico had said he wanted to write like a story, sort of like a little concept, but I think they didn't want to do like a whole record on it. Do you know what I mean? Like that felt like it would be not a waste of a record, but you know, you don't need to do an entire record about one thing. It's just, you can bash out a little EP and be on your way. So
yeah, that's cool. Instead of a concept album, it's a concept EP.
That's good. Exactly right. They've got like two or three EPs.
I believe there's another one, the front cover, it's like space, or it's like a picture of space.
I find it interesting when some bands release EPs, but when they've already kind of established themselves to the point where they can just go record, you know, two years.
These guys just, I don't know if this was included in their 2 year cycle. I don't know a lot of their back catalogue, but I think might have been 3 years between our records, including this. But I think that's fine if you give people like something to chew on for a year or so, or 6 months or whatever.
I wish more bands would do it. More content.
At the end of the day, 100% more content. So,
like, if you've got it there to share, definitely get it out, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Cram into a shitty album with filler.
One of the things that really sort of attracted me to this song as well was, we've actually talked about it in the Spiders episode, the really subtle use of keys. Now, they have a keyboard player, and they have for the majority of their career. The song sort of comes to a grinding halt where he says, it's already too late, and then you'll hear this like really high. It's like the high end of the keyboard, and it's that sort of minor, sort of clunking kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
you,
know,
hear,
I
you
know
think like mean. Alfred Hitchcock's mm-hmm. Psycho.
It's a dissonant key or dissonant chord. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and you hear those little things scattered throughout the song.
They evoke tension. Yeah, make you stressed. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and he's definitely got an interesting style of vocals.
Very, I'm gonna say harsh. I'm not sure if it's production, but these vocals have sounded similar through their whole.
Yeah. Well, from a lot of the, you don't always believe what you see in YouTube comments, but there is some kind of truth to them. So you watch videos of them throughout their career, and people will comment saying, you know, his vocals have gotten better, or they've gotten worse, or they've gotten tighter, they've gotten, you know.
He just screams his guts out.
My understanding is that he was quite good, and then he maybe went through a dip where his voice just went, oh, fuck. And then maybe he's done some work to train that back up, because their last EP, the Transit Blues album.
Yeah.
There was another one I showed you guys called Daughter, which is a good song too. It's quite short though, so didn't make the list, but it seems like he'd been really working on his vocals there. So he's sort of back to peak live performance again.
It was more understandable in their newer stuff. The sound of his voice was better.
Yeah.
And in this one, basically for me, I think I can understand a lot of metal screamers, but this is one of the few guys that I cannot understand a word he is saying.
Yeah.
He's very distorted, intense, lots of gain.
High as well.
Yep.
You know, he's sort of, not like a really deep one, but he can sort of, you know, I'm making an up and down hand motion at the moment. Well,
he's undulating.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm nodding, yes.
Yeah. That is back to nodding. So, like, structurally, I'd say the song's reasonably complex. It's not like one of those boring sort of 3-minute get in, get out songs.
The guitar riff is quavers, and he plays about 5 notes. Each note he plays about 4 to 8 times. So it's just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Quite simple. But the rest of the song, it does kind of move about into other parts. But that is the main, I guess, the riff of the song is a very simple riff with quavers. Yeah, so there's that. Was this your first introduction to this band?
Yeah, it was. It's been on the bangers list for a while now, on the new wave bangers list for quite some time. Eh? So it's, you know, giving this playlist a listen, it came up from time to time, and their first time I obviously had heard of the band, but hadn't given them a listen. So this is the first song that of theirs that I'd heard, and I was pleasantly surprised. I think it paints the picture really well. Like it's a, you know, it's different. Like we said, it's nice having a kind of refreshing having a song that's not about a, you know, losing someone or fighting back from depression. Not dissing those sorts of songs, but it is kind of refreshing having something a bit more. It's kind of a fun song.
It's good
song.
To have
it's
variety
a fun
in
song.
Life, yeah.
Yeah.
Like and if you've watched, like, you know, any zombie film or like TV show, like early The Walking Dead before it got shit. So like the first season.
Yeah.
You really get that sort of sense of, you've seen that in film or TV, you get that real sense of terror.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, it's just happened. There's like the hordes are starting to sort of swarm. And because he says, you know, as clumsy as these beasts may be, their lack of numbers, what is it? Their lack of something, their mass numbers make up for slow speeds.
The zombies could actually be babies.
Yeah, exactly right.
They're beasts, yeah. As a new father, this is what happens. The numbers of them, slow speeds.
No, it's,
they just get away from you. No point screaming and crying. Yeah.
That's
right. Good. It's one of those songs where lyrically you don't have to think about it so much. Like, this is a song about fucking zombies, and that's what it is. There's not really, to my knowledge anyway, there's not really
a deeper meaning to
it. It's just this is a song about zombies. Enjoy, have fun.
From the zombie EP.
And
who would have thought?
Yeah, there we go. And and the music, the music sort of works with that really well.
I'm going to say the genre of this, it's got a touch of thrash to it, but we always talk about like metalcore and crap, but do you think this falls into that, Julian? I don't know that it does so much.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's just
mathcore. Yeah.
Okay.
They might be the only one that knows all these weird things.
Yeah.
Like, you guys didn't know easycore or moshcore. Mathcore, I think, like,
mathcore isn't
like Norma Jean.
It's got to have complexity to it, though,
yeah,
right?
Or, like, and The Chariot, bands like that, that were just sort of, a little bit technical, but kind of fucking all over the place as well.
Fair enough.
Like, chaotic hardcore, you could say as well. There is.
I'm going to just call it Christian metal, because they kind of, they identify that's their gender is Christian metal. I don't know why they've got to say Christian. What's the point of saying if you're a band like, oh, we're Christian, by the way, what is that going to get you different listeners? Why share that part about your band?
Well, it's just sharing who you are, really.
Okay, so you can put in front of you, like, you know, atheist metalcore band,
here
we come.
That they're a Christian band. They're a band, and some of them are Christians.
Yep.
Like ABR, some of them are Christians, some of them are not.
Okay.
They don't identify as a Christian band, because I think a lot of Christian bands have really gotten the shits with that. Like Under Oath got the shits with it pretty badly. And they basically turned around and said, well, we don't associate us with that anymore. That was for a whole different set of reasons. But like, I do know that it's a stressor for a lot of these bands who are majority or all Christians. And they get the whole moniker. And it's like, well, if you read our lyrics, like what part of this is religious? Still Remains is a good example. A lot of those guys are Christian, but they're not, like you wouldn't say they're a Christian metalcore band.
Yeah, you know? I guess.
So they sort of just don't, a lot of it doesn't sit well with a lot of them. They say, well, what are you making a big deal out of it? Do you know what I mean? It's like saying he's white, he's black, someone else is Asian. Like you're not going to say we're an Asian metalcore band. Do you know what I mean? Just because some of us are, you know, Asian, some of us aren't. So
yeah, fair enough. It's, yeah. Call yourself whatever you want, I guess.
Well, exactly right. Like, not to call you out, but it's just one of those things I've noticed as well. So I believe some of the guys in this band are religious.
So they're successful is what you've said earlier. Do you think this, what, who dictates success and how are they successful? Is it because they've been around for so long?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest, I'm not able to gauge it like I could gauge other bands we've talked about. They have been around for a fair while, and I think they're one of those bands that's not big fish in a little pond.
But yeah.
They're like, you know, they're pretty big. They're well known across multiple continents, but they're not, out of all the stuff we've listened to, their earlier stuff as well, they're not the most easy core, sort of approachable, friendly stuff. Their newer stuff is getting a bit that way, but they've, from what I've heard of their new stuff, they've still very much gone, we're going to make this crazy if we want, and we don't really care if people don't like it.
Mm.
So,
well, the thing about some bands and how you gauge success these days, obviously, like the Billboard charts, the ARIAs, I guess, the chord for Australia, whatever they're called in the UK. And so these guys very often will be on these charts, right? So they'll be up in the top, I don't know, top 50s, top 100s, whatever. To get onto these charts, you need to like apply, pay for it, and then all of your sales, streams, listens, and downloads are kind of like tallied up together. They carry different weight, like an album sale carries more weight than a stream, fair enough. And all this stuff is factored together, and then you kind of get like a position on the Billboard.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, like you pay to get in, and then your success is actually scaled by not profit, but the amount that you are exposed and getting out and how much
okay, your there we music go. I didn't is being know played. That.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah.
My understanding was it's still album sales based. So if
we're but it had to change because, as we've said, so much streaming. I don't think YouTube views necessarily count towards it. They may, but again, the weight isn't as much. I was reading through like how much album sales, et cetera, would you actually need? And a lot of these bands have like 40,000. Plus is kind of like low. And then the Australian ARIAs have like some bands that are on the charts with a song and their album sales are like around 1,000.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's lack of bands making music or lack of bands applying because I don't know how much it costs to get onto the charts. I'll find that out. But it's interesting. So I guess they're on these boards. They're getting up. They're selling a lot of albums. They're successful. Yeah. They've been around for a long time. Fuck yeah. So I didn't get into them, but years and years ago, maybe 2006, this is the Scene hairstyle days. As you probably remember, everyone had these. These guys especially had them. They're all young, had that, yeah. The big fringe and covering their faces. And they had a song called, I think it was HTML Rules Dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was the first thing I heard by them. And fuck, it scared me, I reckon. It
blows the doors off.
Yeah, it stressed me out. And I didn't even make it to the first clean chorus. Like, I just can't do it. It's so intense. So, you know, from that time, I was like, oh, fucking, this band is way too much for me. And a few years later, maybe 10 years later, probably 8 years, whatever, I saw them at a festival somewhere. Someone said, come see the Devil's Prayer. They put on a good show. I went to the tent and it was all set up inside. And they came out and the singer screamed his lungs out. The music was so fucking loud, like I could feel my ears were like hurting during their set. I think I've had tinnitus ever since. Is that how you say it?
Tinnitus. Yeah,
it was like my head was ringing after this. It was so loud, so
doesn't
intense.
How you say it, by the way, the person that's got it can't hear you.
Yeah, I just hear constant ringing. So thank you, The Devil Wears Prada. Yeah, there you go.
Just on that note, I distinctly remember a couple of at least Soundwave sets where you're like, you're not even close to the front, and the sound guy's got the gain just turned up to about a million. And you're like, bro, it does not need to be that loud. Like, we can fucking hear them, eh? You know, like a bass drum coming through the speakers is like knocking you back an inch.
Yeah.
It's like walking in really windy conditions. You're like trying to fight towards the front and pushing people out of the way. You're like,
the bass drum has gained. Yeah.
Massive, yeah. So I think everyone can. And it's like you're out in the sun, it's hot. You're like sweating and getting sunburned and stuff like that. But, you know, that's all part of festivals. But I think everyone's been to one of those sets where it's like, all right, turn down a couple of million decibels and, you know, we'll be able to hear you. 140 is fine, okay? You'll damage everyone's hearing just enough.
And some bands you can't hear. It's a mess sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, back to this song. I think, like I said before, it's not one of those get in, get out songs. It's definitely got like a lead up, a build up, and then sort of that really frenetic kind of 2 or 3 minutes with the verses and stuff. And then Jeremy DePosta has that really nice, I really rate his cleans there, that try to contain every ounce of sorrow, our hearts have no room for this. And the first time I listened to it, I was driving, so it's about a 3.5 hour drive, and I had it all the windows in my car down because I had no air conditioning. And it was the middle of summer and I had this playing at full volume and I had a stupid amount of speakers in that car. The only problem was it sounded great, but because this is so chaotic in its production, you can't really hear it that well. So it was just this wash, this like wall of sound coming out of my car. And I was like, I kind of want to turn it down and listen to what they're saying, but I kind of just want to enjoy how like frenetic it sounds in here.
Yeah.
So that was good. But anyway, after that clean section, you think, oh, there's something like there's more cleans coming. And then no, it builds in that really chaotic bit. And then all of a sudden, nothing. There's the sound of like, what's like a gunshot. Cocking a gun and then that fucking massive breakdown. You know, it's structure is definitely a little bit more complex than what we're used to seeing.
Okay. Yeah, we can say that. One big breakdown. We love breakdowns on the Bangers List.
We do.
Yeah. Big fat breakdown, this one.
It's a pretty fat breakdown as well.
What we call it, 2009 breakdown?
2009 breakdown, okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I don't know, them. Jared Dines kind of does have a cheeseburger. you got to be over 25 to get that joke. Yeah, he does have a point. There were a lot of those breakdowns that had like a sample or some shit. Like,
yeah.
And then the glass shattering as well at some point there. Like, that was definitely a thing. So it did fit the mold sort of thing. I don't know. What do you guys reckon?
Daniel's rocked up and he's too tired to speak today. We'll go to the next segment if you want, buddy.
Well, no, it's okay. It's okay. Just give me a bit of time to sort of compose my thoughts here. It's a very frantic song. There's a lot to kind of take in. That's the thing. It's very intense all the way through, as we've kind of said. A number of times already. Trying to think what really sort of stands out to me. And I think the guitar work is phenomenal throughout. I think when you've got a song that's kind of telling a story, yeah, as Julian stated earlier, rather than being a concept, but telling a particular story, the lyrics play a certain part. Obviously, that's what is telling the story at the end of the day. But what sets the scene is the kind of the musicianship that's going on and the instruments kind of collaborate with each other. And I think they do that so well, particularly the drums and the guitar create that sort of franticness, right? It's that sense of urgency throughout the entire song, right? Just kind of like always kind of keeps you on your toes. Sort of sense of panic. Yeah. And you're like, you're not going to fucking put this song on if you want to have a fucking nap, hey. Like, if you're listening to this song, you got to be ready for like an intense 4 or 5 minutes, right?
So. Would you even have it in your gym playlist?
Yeah, keeps you.
Yeah.
Or, and
yeah.
Yes and no, I think it would keep the blood rushing, that's for sure, but it's not really a song that would keep you focused either, if that makes sense.
It's like the production wise, we've talked to this, it's like quite scratchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's not that really rounded kind of a Data River sound.
And I think being an EP is probably that.
You know, like and that's sort of true of a lot of their music, though. They did have that more scratchier kind of chaotic sound. Do you know what I mean? But I think that really, like you say, it really fucking helps.
Yeah.
As a guitarist, obviously you would have, your ears get sucked to the guitar straight away, right?
They do.
Joel mentioned earlier that it's not particularly complicated. There's a lot of, like, would you say, is it tremolo picking?
It might feel like tremolos, but it was only quavers. The tempo is up above 160. Tremolos,
but you're just down picking.
No, it's just up and down. Okay. It's alternate picking. It's not super fast.
Well, what are you doing? What's the tempo? This is the tempo, right?
I'm not playing the tempo game.
All right. I would say they're semi-quavers. Yeah, yeah.
So as a guitarist, is it fair to say that even if it's not that simple, the guitars and the drums are working together to have that role?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I'd say there are elements of this song where it's actually quite technically driven too. So it's not it might not be the most complicated thing in the world to play, but there are parts where the timing, and you can probably relate to the drum as well, the timing sort of that little bit, a little bit unique in parts.
I think he throws some chords into some what I call offbeats, quite dissonant chords a lot of the time as well, a bit jarring again. So
there's that one bit after he screams, there's no time for the... It goes just before that, as clumsy as his beast may be. It's like that. I don't know what he's doing. It's that really high pitched sort of like squeal.
So that's
like three of them.
That idea is a couple of artificial harmonics. Mm-hmm. I originally thought they were natural harmonics, and the difference between those is Daniel.
Well, how are you going to explain this?
An artificial harmonic comes from mostly electric guitars. It's where your thumb hits the string and makes it give a squeal sound. Mm-hmm. A natural harmonic is where you play. Usually, it's in the middle of the strings, the neck, like about halfway down them or a quarter, as well as what you can get them.
It's the way the guitar's designed.
Yeah. And it's the frequency makes a sound of a note.
That's when you don't push the string down onto the fret, but you're just touching it and you can pluck it and it'll actually make a noise.
Yeah, and so he does the artificial ones because he's playing electric. He plays them way down.
Yeah, you need the pickups of the electric guitar for it to actually resonate.
Yeah, and he does that little idea a couple of times in the song, and it is, as you said, jarring, intense, frenetic.
You see a lot of metalcore bands use that technique.
Right? Yeah, squeals, artificial harmonics and squeals haven't been super popular for the last couple of years, to my knowledge, the stuff I've been listening to.
I think they're used differently in this genre. I think when you use it in this type of music, I think it's got a very kind of dramatic feel to it, whereas I think where it originated from were bands like AC/DC, Van Halen, even bands like like Judas Priest, those sort of 70s, 80s
stylish on guitar,
hard rock bands, right? And it was more for an expressive kind of feel, and almost add another cool element, where probably from an era where lead guitar and guitar solos are a much more prominent part of music. That's exactly right. Yeah, rock music, and now
because it wasn't always like a lot of really popular bands early on didn't have a lead guitarist and a rhythm. It was you were the guitarist.
Yeah,
you know, like so that was you did everything: rhythm, lead, solos,
really
the whole nine yards. Yeah, there are more bands than I care to mention.
I think four piece is probably the standard. You got bass player,
definitely.
Guitarist, vocalist, and a drummer, right? Standard.
So, you know, that was the guitarist having the one guy. You're like, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I keep thinking of the Beatles, but I know they had two guitarists. But, you had one was sort of just – like Lennon generally just played the rhythms on the acoustics and stuff like that. And it was Harrison was driving everything.
Yeah.
But they were definitely – they worked together. So, I can't – yeah.
But there are a lot of bands in that situation. You think even like – I think it's a lot of trios back in the day too. So, Cream – with Eric Clapton. He was the lead vocalist. I believe he was the lead vocalist there, and also the
singer as well.
Yeah, he was a singer, and I believe so anyway. And the only guitarist, right? And I think, because I'm pretty sure they were a trio, and the bass player and the drums to accompany that, right? So it's, there are some instances where there's a lot more responsibility lying on the guitarist. And I think, when the squeals, back to that sort of topic, where the squeals kind of came about was where lead guitar was at its, I wouldn't say its best, but whereas people would listen to the music a lot more for the lead guitar, right?
Like Slash.
Yeah, people like Slash, Angus Young, the three Iron Maiden guitarists, you know, Kirk Hammett.
Plays Surfing with the Alien.
Joe Satriani.
Satriani, that's the one. What a legend.
That song as well,
yeah.
That's honestly the only song of his that I could mention as well. I don't know any others.
And that's, I think the squeals were kind of used a bit more expressively then and were more so a part of lead guitar and solos, whereas in this genre, and, you know, think probably more than throughout the noughties, right, where metalcore kind of came to be, and you'd hear the squeals not really used so much as part of lead guitar, more so as part of a riff.
Yeah.
As part of a riff, sometimes
do them together.
In here, it's just like it's a melodic idea, just to add a feel.
It's like an effect, you know? Yeah.
Make you feel tense, and we just unpacked it for about 5 minutes.
And he's like, yeah, I just fucking smashed a couple of notes, guys, and shut up.
Yeah, and maybe because it's used solely for that kind of purpose, maybe it's just running dry a little bit these days. Like people are sort of feel like it's been a bit overused, and they're trying to kind of keep things a bit fresh. I've noticed that there are a lot of bands that don't do it as much as they used to. Like as they kind of evolve and their sound matures, they don't use those kind of, I wouldn't say gimmicky techniques, but
it's sort of more like a basic level guitarist kind of thing. Like, you know, you learn how to do this, you learn how to do that, you learn how to do a squealy sort of things like that, you know.
Yeah.
Like
it's a technique.
It's a heavy guitarist starter pack kit kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what are we looking up over here?
Nothing.
Okay. Joel's jumping onto our MSN Messenger.
We've gone back in time to 2006 when these guys started knocking around.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Oh, look, that harmonics actually occur
at certain points on the strings, which is called nodes. I never would have said nodes, but anyway, just want to make sure we're on the right track and we weren't talking shit, because we get accused a lot of, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Duh.
The fucking kid.
Ah, your mate. Our sound guy.
Colin, yeah.
Smartest out of all of us, doesn't say anything.
No, he's... He would be here, but he's actually teaching another violin lesson.
So he's gone from cello to violin.
It was cello last week. He's violin this week. So
God, he's a talented boy.
He's a very busy man. He was in Guatemala helping some refugees the other week as well. So he's got a lot of his
good bloke.
So
to escape from this song, what are the MVPs?
Oh,
do you guys have any MVP for the song?
Easy, Mike Hronica, the vocalist.
Fair enough.
The unclean vocalist. Because like you say, he throws his absolute back into it, probably throws his back out doing it.
Yeah, and even in the film clips, you watch him, like, he's screaming. He's almost, like, on the floor yelling in some of them and, like, bending over and, like, just hugging the mic to get as much into it as he can. It's a very intense show, really.
He's a good performer. So I think he would be the MVP for me.
Cool. I'm going to go with... whoever the guitarists are. I don't know the band. Well, who's the guitarist, guys?
Jeremy DePosso is one of them. Okay. Because they have a bit of instability around the time they put out the last record.
No worries. Well, let's just say the guitars, the joint effort here. They are, like I said earlier, I think in a song where you have to tell the story, the guitar, and in this particular genre anyway, the guitar plays a massive part for kind of setting the scene. Right?
It's
and
interesting.
I think without that, with the modes they play on the guitar and the riffs that come to be, they look without those, then really, like, I don't think it's not gonna have that same effect, right? So I think, to me, that's what gets me going the most. This song's about that sense of urgency, like I said earlier, and that sense of unease.
So this song couldn't have an acoustic cover? Is that what you're trying to say?
It could. It just wouldn't.
Be a new thing as well. Yeah. Could you do this acoustically? Could Jeremy McKinnon do an acoustic cover? No, D. I should have said D and C.
Yeah, Doyle. You should be able to do any song acoustic, basically. But anyway, I don't have an MVP this week. I just think...
Let's name one.
They're all doing good. You know, maybe... Nah, nothing. They're just all passing the song. But I'll tell you how many bangs I got.
Oh, well, go on. We're just skipping.
No, I'm skipping MVP. You want to have something else to say?
No, well, similar song, similar artist. What do we got?
Before we jump into the bangs.
Okay. Similar songs from... Sorry, songs worth listening to from...
These guys.
Well, either from this song, EP.
I'd say Daughter. Mm-hmm. Off the Trains and Blues record, that Des Moines song they've got, Des Moines. It's pronounced Des Moines.
That's so good. That's a good song as well. I'd say that Des Moines, or however you want to fucking say it. It's a fucking phenomenal song. Really, really good. And then from this EP, another one that stood out was Outnumbered. Did you guys see that one?
Yeah,
that's so cool. One
too. Yeah, that's cool. You like it?
Yeah, so good.
Good fun. Listen,
right.
Joel, songs?
Yeah, look, you can probably go back and listen to the one I mentioned before, HTML Rules, see their roots in a way, how far they've come, how the sound hasn't changed a heap. Oh, it has changed, it has evolved, but, if that intensity is too much for you, then maybe they're not the band for you anyway.
What about some similar artists? You guys got anything there?
I'd say Norma Jean and The Chariot, because they're both very, like, we use the word a lot, they're both very chaotic in sound. Like, they're not easy listening by any stretch of the imagination. So, but I think they're both two very good bands. I'd say early Under Oath.
Okay.
But, I'd say Norma Jean and The Chariot.
Cool.
So.
Good. Yeah, I think there's quite a few. I couldn't really narrow it down to one or two in particular. There's a lot of influences here, but I think there are a lot of bands that are going to sort of cross over.
Who said they were thrashy before? Is that you?
Yeah, I
hadn't thought that at all, but I've been thinking about it the whole time. Yeah. There's definitely some thrash.
Yeah, you hear a bit of Trivium, right?
Thrash
going on there.
So the thing for me is this: it's another intensity level, and I can't think of any bands that are similar enough and do it the same. Really,
they just keep the intensity up at 11.
Yeah, I understand they've got cleans in the songs, in a lot of their songs, and it can bring it down. You say, "Oh, this band has cleans, but it's similar." But no, it's not. It's hard to find bands. I can't think of any that are really similar worth listening to at the moment.
Because even their cleans still have that sense of kind of craziness about them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a catchy pop pop punk chorus in this song, especially. You know, it slows down.
Not at all.
Definitely a clean chorus, but it's not given the vibe of all these other metalcore, etc. bands we do talk about, pop punk and all that crap.
Yeah.
The impression I got from that clean section is like if you've been sprinting away from a horde of zombies and you finally get a chance to catch your breath, but there's this, because basically on the lyrics he says as well, there's such a sense of despondency. You know what I mean? Like it's dark, you're in the middle of a city, you don't know where you are, there's exploding cars nearby, there's all this shit going on. You're like, what the fuck is happening? So there's definitely a sense of urgency that comes from it. So there's no solace to be found in a clean section like that.
Yeah. So,
in an oral sense.
You got any for us?
Yeah, I do. First band that came to mind was Asking Alexandria. Early Asking Alexandria.
I thought that, and I was going to say it, but the more I thought about it, I was like, it's just, no. I don't
know. Well, you know Asking Alexandria better than I do, but that was the first one that popped into my head without sort of having to think about too much.
Stand Up and Scream album. Yeah. That's the kind of era we're talking about. So maybe some Asking Alexandria would be like these guys, yes, but their cleans are a bit more chorusy.
Yeah. So
that's,
but, you know,
that's why I didn't say it.
Production wise, it was heavy, but it was also definitely a bit scratchier.
Yeah.
So, but I can see how you got there. Definitely. Yeah.
Look, that's the first one that came to mind for me. When I talked about the technical elements used in this song, right? The technical guitars in particular. I also thought of After the Burial, and we've got one of their songs on this list, so that might give them a go. They've got some good stuff. The guitar works probably. It is quite a bit more complex in After the Burial, but there's sort of a bit of crossover there too.
Yeah, I guess when we say similar bands, there's going to be shit that's like a lot different about them all the time. Yeah.
But it's about just, you know, giving some other bands a plug to say, hey, if you like these guys, you might like these other guys too.
But it's just, we always talk about it. It's so interesting what you think sounds the same. Like if someone said Stand Up and Scream, I'd be like, not really. But then that's where you go straight away. So it's really relative.
But a lot of people hate, like I've talked about, they hate being told what they might like. Like, you like this band, then you like this band. You're like, fuck you, I know me.
They always think there's like implied speech or something like that. You just go, no, I just thought you'd like them. Like, fuck, relax. Don't enjoy good music then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Another one, not so much of this song, I was just listening through a few of their other albums. I can't remember which album it was off. Maybe there's one album that had like a cosmos kind of theme
to
it.
That was their other EP.
Okay, I think it might have been off that EP. I can't remember which song in particular, but I had an Architects kind of vibe going on as well.
Yeah, okay, that's great. I'm glad you brought them up. They do have a very intense singer, but their cleans are so poppy and chorusy again, but some of the songs don't have those. That's another spot.
Yeah, some of the Devil Wears Prada stuff had that more poppy kind of, this particular EP, hell no, but other songs definitely have the more poppy kind of feels going on there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And Julian's got some facts for us.
I'm just trying to find the name of that EP.
Well, while we're doing that, we'll jump into the next section because we are on a timer here.
The bangs?
The bangs.
The bangs. Anybody want to go first?
Nah.
All right.
I'll go first.
Space.
That's good. There we go.
Cosmos.
I said that at the start. I was like, it had some space shit on the front of it. Space nonsense. All right, bangs.
Bangs, I'm going to give it 7.5. I think it's I love the intensity, and like I said, it's a good fun song. I wouldn't say it's sensational, and I think they've got some better songs out there, like Des Moines is fucking phenomenal. But this particular one, 7.5, it's a solid song, really fun all the way through, bangs hard.
That's the thing. It does bang hard, and we love that here. So I'm going to give it an 8 for how hard it fucking bangs. But for me, I'd only give it like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not huge on it, but fucking bangs.
I'm going to give it like an 8.5. I'm not like an 8.5. I'll give it an 8.5 because when I first heard that breakdown, I was sitting at my house.
Sweating?
Yeah. It's 140 degrees. No, it's just I'd lived by myself. I think at this point I was home by myself if I didn't. And I had the 5.1 set up on my computer and I turned it up like loud enough. I was trying to deafen my neighbors. And then that breakdown hit and blew me back off my chair. So like you say, just it's a monster. So I'm going to go 8.5.
Cool.
Beautiful. Right on time. Thanks for listening, everybody. Next week, we're very excited to talk about another band, another song. We won't tell you now because it's a surprise.
In other words, we have no idea, but...
Yep.
One of them went to jail. We'll say that much.
Ooh, keep the requests and stuff coming to us. And, we'll talk to everybody next week.
Okay, that's it. Well, fuck me, then.
All right. Bye.
Thanks.
Right on time.
Oh shit, I had to turn it off. Fuck. Stop. Stop. Yeah.